Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Today we have a message especially for the ladies, but I hope the men will also find interest, since in the end we're all tied together and we are all as one. Estrogen dominance, menopause, fibroids, ovarian cysts, endometriosis, uterine and cervical cancer, ovarian cancer. How we ought to look at these. Point being, they're all part of the same thing. Fundamentally, they're caused by the same issues. And that's not what you're going to hear in the pathology labs. It's not what scientists spend their time doing. Science, medicine in general, will delineate between these ad infinitum to the infinite degree to make you think these are all very, 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 very different issues, and that they all have to be treated in very, very, very different specific ways to optimize outcome. Well, topically this is true, but fundamentally this is nonsense. And functionally, so I said three words, topically, fundamentally, and functionally. Functionally meaning what? Where the rubber meets the road, where it counts in your pocketbook and in terms of your own steps, the things you do to get the best outcome. Fundamentally, functionally, this is not true. You have to look at estrogen dominance, and we're going to define that. Menopause, fibroids, ovarian cysts, endometriosis, uterine cancer, cervical cancer, ovarian cancer as one. Let me explain. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. If you can, get to my website, straighttalk.cc. That is not .com, straighttalk.cc. If you're driving, just kick back, relax, and listen to the show. You're on the website. First point, female anatomy. Let's take a look at it. Go to picture number one. It's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful picture. Picture number one. Now that's the real thing, the real McCoy. You're taking a look at the uterus. That big thing in the middle is a female uterus. And those little hands, isn't that an odd picture? Isn't that a wonderful picture? Those hands are connected to arms. Those arms are really your fallopian tubes. Those two white things are in fact your ovaries. Each month, ladies, those little fingers, the fimbria of the fallopian tube, grab the ovulating egg, and that egg wiggled its way up into that big central body there. Isn't this a fascinating picture? That egg, you're not seeing an egg, you're seeing an ovary there. So that whole big white thing is not an ovary, it is not an egg, it's an ovary. You're going to pop one egg out as you ovulate. And those fingers are going to grab that egg, and that egg is going to wiggle its way up through the tube and into the ovary and plant itself. That's your basic anatomy. I want you to notice the skin. I want you to take a look at this picture. This is what anatomists fail to point out, because who cares about the skin? What do I mean by the skin? Look at that sort of gelatinous or shiny layer around that entire pink body of flesh. Do you know what that skin is? Can somebody tell me what that skin is? I hope a bunch of you are understanding what that skin is. That skin is fascia. And in that fascia live the blood vessels, live the nerves, live the veins, live the arteries, live the lymphatic system that's going to get to that uterus, get to that ovary, or not get to it, that's going to penetrate and drain it, or not penetrate and drain it. And we're going to get back to that, because how is cancer, endometriosis, periods from hell, endometriosis, cystic ovaries, bad, harsh periods each month, how is it all tied together? Well, it's going to have a lot to do with that skin you're looking at, but we'll get to that later. Let's keep going as we set ourselves up for the argument. Picture number two. So you can get spatially oriented. Take a look at picture number two. You're looking at the uterus. It's a, in a sense, a poor representation of the uterus, but you can see the fallopian tubes. And again, those fingers, the fimbria, at approximately the place, ladies, if you don't know this, where that sits in your abdominal cavity. And you can see that coccyx and that sacrum, that bone in the background. You can see the pubic bone in the front. No doubt you can see the pubic bone. Touch your pubic bone, come up about an inch or so, 2 inches really. Press in, and that's your uterus. Now, you know that place because for many of you, for decades, each month, that place aches and throbs. There's a reason for that. Let me cut in here and say this to you. Fibroids, ovarian cysts, endometriosis, all the cancers, harsh menopauses, bad bleeds, bad clots, bad PMS, they're all the same thing. Why? Because any one of those functions begins with a situation where you start to have stasis or blockage. We don't like those terms in medicine. They're too general, they don't mean a lot, and because they're too general and they don't mean a lot, and they're not $50 words, and the average person can understand what that means if they get out of their heads, we can't use it, and yet it's right at the tip of our nose. The minute that tissue you're looking at gets trapped inside that pelvis and doesn't move. And no, it's not moving necessarily if you're jogging a mile or two a day. And it's not moving necessarily if you're going to your Pilates class. And it's not moving necessarily if you're going to your yoga class. It's a lot deeper than that. But we're going to set you up for more information later. I'm laying the foundation. One, motion, based on where that uterus ovaries live. Two, the fascial system. Let's keep exploring together. Let's take a look at picture number three. Look at this from the side now. We're going to take a look at, give yourself a moment there, get that picture up. Again, if you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com. Now, that's a sagittal cut of somebody. Now, that's Chinese and Greek combined to most people. That's a person cut down in half, and you're looking in. And you see those big spaces, that big fat thing. It looks like a thick layer in the center there is the uterus. Above it's that little white sort of ball. That's an ovary. There's those fingers again that cover the ovary, which is a fimbria of the fallopian tube that goes to the uterus. Guys, I hope you're involved here. You're actually not a lot different. Less different than you might think. Now, that thick piece of flesh in there, that center, that's the uterus. And behind the uterus, to the right, if you're looking at the picture, to the right of the uterus, those big empty spaces, that's the rectum, ladies. Remember those days? And perhaps you remember them now. Every month when that uterus swells with what? Blood? Toxic blood? Blood you don't need anymore? And that uterus enlarges, engorges, you either get diarrhea or constipation. Many of you have suffered from that. There's your reason. Until you can address it, and we'll get to how you address it a little later, we've got to give you the data. You got to have the insight first, right? How many of you would run off in 15 different directions concerned that you've got endometriosis, or you've got an ovarian cancer, or you've got a cervical cancer, or you've got cervical dysplasia and you're HPV positive on your way to cancer, or you're having hot flashes towards menopause, or you're still menstruating each month but your periods are horrid, or you have a fibroid or an ovarian cyst? How many of you would run in multiple directions looking for multiple insights when in fact it's all coming from the same thing? And that's what we're discussing now. Am I repeating myself? Yes, I'm repeating myself. Why? Because there's no end to how deeply you have to understand this. Because in my experience, when the rubber hits the road, when finally it's time to apply these principles, it doesn't happen enough. The mind scatters. You get scared and you scramble. You bend and fold under the weight of the common, superficial, topical, fairly useless perspective. Meaning what? Meaning your endometriosis is different than your cervical cancer or your uterine cancer. So you're taking the bump up because you're understanding functional fundamentals. There's one. A sagittal cut of a female explains to you how crowded it is in there. It's crowded, ladies. Really crowded. There's not a lot of room. There's not a lot of room. And as far as prolapse is concerned, every one of those organs, the rectum, the uterus, the ovaries, the bladder, where's the bladder? That other hole there, underneath that fat, thick uterus, that muscular uterus, just below it, sort of a triangular shape, that's your bladder. When you get the uterus taken out, that bladder prolapses. Isn't that a beautiful picture? When you get the uterus taken out, the bladder will prolapse. You can see why. That uterus is holding up the bladder. What you deal with, ladies, over the years, as you tear or get your episiotomies, or birth your children cesarean, what you deal with more than ever is the perineal issue just caving in. It has no tone anymore, so everything starts dropping out. This week, two contacts for rectal prolapses. Dear Dr. Medici, embarrassing to talk about, but something's coming out of my butt. What is it? You're prolapsing. You can drop any one of those organs out of your orifices. The bladder prolapses, thus a sling. Radical hysterectomies are often followed by slings. We got to put something in there to keep up the bladder. And that's the end of a good night's sleep. Then we've got the uterus, and the uterus prolapses as the cervix prolapsed. Gee, in medicine, the first day you get a call from somebody and they tell you that up inside the vaginal canal, something's coming out and they don't know what it is. It's big. And that's when a woman actually prolapses the cervix. Or during a bowel movement, something starts to come out and it's not what normally comes out. It's tissue. The entire rectum is prolapsing. It's dropping out that hole. And all of this you can see in this picture. These tissues are all held together. Let's take a look at another picture. It's a fantastic picture all the way at the end there. You got to go all the way down to picture number 22. Go to picture number 22. Blow that up. It's not big enough. That's Control Plus if you're new to computers. Or you can just spread it out on your keypad, your fingers, and enlarge the picture. Now, there's another cut of the uterus and the ovaries and the fallopian tube. Man, I hope this is fascinating to you. It explains much, does it not? That yellow stuff, What is that yellow stuff? That's connective tissue. That's fascia. That's what's going to hold the blood vessels into these tissues. That fascia conducts light. Ultimately, it conducts light. So I want you to take a moment here and wrap your minds around the statement I'm making to you. Through that yellow tissue, which is what? Which is fascia. Here are your arteries, your veins, your nerves, and your lymph. To those ovaries, to those fallopian tubes, to your cervix, to your uterus. And those connective tissues transmit light. They do. Anybody that wants to argue that, lay down. Because you will be buried amongst the data, the research, the science, occupying the notion that the fascia is a fiber optic system, that it conducts light. If it does, if it doesn't, endometriosis, menopause, fibroids, uterine and cervical cancers. Wow, what a ridiculously stupid statement I just made, huh? This guy says that the body conducts light, and in the absence of light is darkness, and darkness is stasis, stasis of blood, stasis of nerve flow, stasis in your emotional being, stasis in everything that supports life, and that just might be the basis to these diseases, and that those diseases, all the way up to metastatic uterine cancer or cervical cancer or ovarian cancer, are really a function of the fact that we don't transmit light when we're made as bodies of light. Now, you can go to church on Sunday and pray and utter these words. But on your way to Kaiser, after you've been diagnosed with a uterine cancer, what happens to those words? Well, you see, you've drank the Kool-Aid, because what's in the Bible and what's in medicine are not supposed to mix. Science and spirit have been separated hundreds of years ago in a deal made between Descartes and the Pope. Check Candace Pert's work on opiates. Check Molecules of Emotion. Check any of her interviews with Bill Moyers to understand the validity to what I'm saying. But this is not just a fairy tale. This is functional for you, because you're living with menopause. You may not be able to get pregnant because your PMS is so bad. You may have hard endometriosis. You may have had your uterus removed because of fibroids. They may be telling you, on top of the uterus, take your ovaries. Your ovarian cysts may make your periods each month hellish. You may have more endometriosis in your abdominal cavity all the way up to your liver. You may be looking at cervical dysplasia. You may be looking at uterine cancer, ovarian cancer, cervical cancer. And therefore, you have to understand what I'm saying. That's functional medicine. So the fascial system, big part of this game here. Big part of this game. And let me make another statement. Your emotional life. Your emotional life. Especially, ladies, as it relates to cancer. All the cancers. But ladies' cancers we're dealing with now. I'm going to hit you hard with this. Look at picture number 4. I've done a show on this before. I'm going to do it again, because this is significant. Picture number 4, you're looking at a clitoris. That is the clitoral body, the glands of the clitoris, and the corpus cavernosum. You see those two wings on that picture? Those two wings on the clitoris are part of a clitoris. They're just as much a part of the clitoris as a man's shaft is. His penile shaft is split in a male. He has two corpus cavernosums. I left those pictures out. It's not relevant enough. But a male shaft, his penis, has two corpus cavernosums. They may be 1 inch, 2 inch, or 12 inches long. And we know that story. The point is, those two shafts, those two corpus cavernosums in a male, are tied together by a lot of fascia, Buck's fascia. It's actually called Buck's fascia. And there's another fascia, I forget the name of it. With a lady, they spread out like wings. And then there's a head. And then what they're calling the bulb of the vestibule, that's another part. You could think of it as a woman's scrotum. That corpus cavernosum, when that's enlarged, when a woman's clitoris is engorged, that thing goes back 4 inches. It can go back as far as 6 inches. When a woman is erect in the act of lovemaking, she's as big as most men. Now look at the travesty, look at the tragedy, look at the betrayal, look at the lie. Look at the early death of the feminine. Look at picture number 5. You see that little thing there, the clitoris? And ladies, you know, if men are even aware that that thing exists, that's what they're taught. It's the size of a pinhead. In medical school, that's what they're taught. In chiropractic school, that's what they're taught. That's why that I did that show months ago on Sophia Wallace. A very skilled designer, no intention of getting involved with this rant, and nonetheless taking it on. Salute her. Salute her. She just got sick of the ignorance. Look at that. It's the head of a pin when it's a full 6 inches erect. That is a travesty. Now, what does that have to do with endometriosis and et al? I'll tell you what it, well, you can guess what it has to do, right? You can guess. You can guess. What are you engaging in the act of making love? What? What are you engaging in the act of orgasm? How can you honor an organ so vital to you if you don't even know where it is or what it is or what it's supposed to do, how it's supposed to function? Where's the relationship? Where's the relationship with your cycle every month? Do you know when you're ovulating? Do you know when you're ovulating? Can you feel your uterus? Are your periods a pleasure and not an agony? Was menopause natural and smooth and easy? Have you ever really had an orgasm? Are you presently having orgasms? Are you even being touched? Is your skin connected as an erotic organ? Is it connected to your genitals? Can you make and feel those connections? Does any of this make sense? What does this have to do with cancer? What does this have to do with endometriosis? Well, we can all agree that emotions and disease go hand in hand. But what you're talking about when you say emotion is negative emotions to be replaced by opiates. Opiates have functional meaning when you are in a state of pleasure. Orgasm is pleasure. Orgasm in the brain is pleasure. Orgasm is a natural, healthy part of human existence, if it occurs. Now, I'm a doctor. I hear all the stories. I can tell you what you already know in your heart. It doesn't occur all too often. It may have once. It may have been jaded and integrated and smidged and smudgened and slanted with so many other experiences that it's not even a thought anymore. It hasn't been for decades. Now, you weigh what I just said. The fascial system. The spatial orientations of organs. The significance, at least psychologically, of understanding, better yet, feeling the full function of your female organs. And that's for openers. We're only 20 minutes into the show. Now you weigh that against the day you wake up and get bad news. The Pap port said there's a cervical cancer, a uterine cancer, an ovarian cancer. You have endometriosis and you can't get pregnant. I remember a few years ago, I walked into a little restaurant in a place I frequented, and the owner, who I knew, was somewhat distraught over something. I had known her a number of years, so I took the liberty of saying, "What's wrong?" She was a Korean woman. And you know, down here in Orange County, there are a lot of Koreans. Very hard-working people, very family-oriented people. Well, one thing about that culture, as well as many cultures, is when your children cannot bear children, you as the mother are grief-stricken. And so the story goes, this woman was having a bad day because her daughter had failed at another pregnancy. Her daughter had been married a few years, and she wanted a son, and her husband wanted a son. Now, that's the way the story goes for everybody, not just Koreans, but in this case, she was Korean. And I can tell you, it's a big deal to them. So then that I knew her, I asked a few questions, only to find out her daughter had endometriosis. Because I'm going to go right to, how's the period? Oh, the period is from hell. The period hurts so much. She was must about 24 years old. And then she muttered something about endometriosis. And I said to the woman, haven't the doctors told you the endometriosis represents something that's going to create fertility issue? And the woman looked at me blank. And this is what she said, and I kid you not, so sit down. She said to me, I thought endometriosis was normal. That's what she said. She said, I thought, now this was a business owner. She made more money than most of you make. She ran her own businesses. She was successful. She wasn't a stupid woman, nor was she ignorant. She just didn't know. And the reason she thought it was normal is because not only her daughter, but all her daughter's friends had endometriosis. That's how bad it is. But what does this have to do with cancer? This is a story of a 24-year-old girl. We're talking about the cancer you get at 60 or 50. They're the same thing. We'll tie this together for you. Let's continue. So there we have the travesty of the clitoris, an understanding of the spatial orientations involved. Now let's get to the blood. Better yet, let's get to a word called estrogen. Go to picture number 14. Let's look at some of the chemistry behind this. Picture 14, estrogen's effects. Estrogen causes breast stimulation. Estrogen causes body fat. If you are overweight, you are going to hold way more estrogen receptor in your body. If you are overweight, you are going to have toxic estrogen circulating through your body at levels that will kill you no matter what you do. If you have any of these problems and you're not down to 12% body fat, you are hurting yourself. I'm trying to talk gently. Body fat. Estrogen increases body fat. Estrogen is proliferative. Balancing progesterone is not. The ovaries are secreting estrogen and progesterone. They must be in balance. You've heard that. If they're not, it's called estrogen dominant. The question becomes to the 22-year-old girl, to you at 60 with cervical cancer, uterine cancer, to you at 40 with endometriosis all over your abdominal cavity. The question becomes, are you estrogen dominant? You are estrogen dominant if you are overweight. And go find an American today that's not overweight. And this is the point. That fat binds estrogen. It leaves so many receptor sites for estrogen that you can't get on the other side of the xenoestrogenic effect, meaning, look at picture 15. Estrogen where? Estrogen everywhere. You can't get on the other side of estrogen estrogens found in plastics, cosmetics, pesticides, dry cleaning, meats, dairy products. It's in the air. It's in your perfumes. It's in your hairsprays. It's in your hair dye. It's everywhere. There's no getting around it unless you want to go live, seriously live in the woods. And I mean in special woods, because even today the woods are contaminated. On that basis, don't build places for the estrogen to hide, and fat is a big one. So moving right along here, if you're interested in doing something about all these things, get rid of the body fat. If you come to me fat, and you ask me to help you with your health concern, I, who don't cure anything, who don't treat any disease, who just try to educate people about what to do so their bodies can cure themselves, which as long as we have a constitution is still legal, you're allowed to cure your own disease. No one else is allowed to cure your disease, but you are allowed to cure your own disease. When that doesn't happen any longer, load up your you-know-what. So, if you ask for help, the first thing you help yourself with is burning out your fat. That's another show. That's another art form. So on and so forth. And if you succeed at that, you're going to greatly, dramatically reduce any of the estrogen receptors that are binding estrogen, creating estrogen dominance, meaning the proliferative effects of estrogen are going to outweigh the balancing effects of the progesterone that you're producing. Now, if you've done the birth control pill for years, that's a bigger problem. Because the birth control pill, it's going to knock your liver in the eyeballs. The birth control pill is estrogen. And it's got progestins in it. And it really, really alters your cycle. Now, you never did the birth control pill. Yes, you did. You did do the birth control pill. If you live in Long Beach, you're inhaling the birth control pill each day. If you live in Torrance, if you live in Redondo Beach, if you live in Huntington Beach, if you live in Orange County. So you got to take this seriously and take action, which means take down the receptor sites for this estrogen so it doesn't go dominant. The next thing you have to take a look at is the net effect of estrogen. Now, even if this estrogen is not exogenous, meaning coming in from the outside, what it's going to do is thicken your blood. As I've said many, many times before, there is no cancer. There's no endometriosis. There's no clotty period. There's no nothing under the guise of women's gynecological problems that is not a function of the fact that somewhere along the line, your blood has thickened. Yes, indeed, your blood has thickened. Blood stasis. Look under your tongue and look at your veins. Have some massage therapist dig deep to where the muscle meets the bone, and you will cringe in pain because your blood's too thick. Have somebody draw blood. Have an acupuncturist needle you deep to break up the blood stasis. Take herbs that disperse blood. Turmeric. Wonderful herb to disperse blood. To decongest blood. Cayenne. Garlic. Herbs that thin the blood. How about motion? Especially you O-bloods who are defined by motion. Rigorous motion. Not the stroll in the park with your husband. That's not the motion I'm talking about. The motion for 20 minutes, three times a week, that makes you feel like you're going to die. Only you don't. You're reborn. Because your body activates. Your hormones balance. You feel alive. Take a look at picture number 18. Take a look at picture 18. This is a great representation of the sinusoids of the liver. The liver is the organ that controls the thickness of your blood. If the liver is perfusing, if the liver is draining, if the liver is doing all the things the liver is supposed to do, and I don't just mean coffee enemas and liver gallbladder flushes. I mean the full totality of what it is to keep a liver healthy. Once those big blue veins are sluggish with blood, that condition is systemic all over the body. It means that the very blood that you're trying to drain away from your ovaries, your uterus, your cervix, so you can take the poisons out, the xenoestrogens, the carcinogens, the viruses, the bacteria, the parasites. Once that blood is too thick, per unit time, per frame of time, you get less drainage because the blood is thicker. That's blood viscosity. I've done shows on blood viscosity. The Chinese medical system, the Vedic medical system, the American Hematological Association understands that blood viscosity is a major issue. So I can make the statement to you that your cervical cancer, that your uterine cancer, that your ovarian cancer, that your PMS, your hot flashes, your endometriosis, your fibroids, your cystic ovaries, your polycystic ovaries are all very much related to stasis of blood. Are they telling you that at Kaiser? Are your holistic practitioners telling you what to do about that? I am. And first and foremost, it means move your body. It means connect to your organs emotionally. Now, what does that mean? Oh, yes, I'm connected to my organ emotionally. I love my husband. It's not a lot to do with what I'm saying. It really doesn't. You have to turn, I love my husband, you have to turn these statements into something functional in your physiology, or you're not going to get the desired effect. And if you're moving your body, and if you love your husband, and if you love yourself, and if you want to make all these statements that are about the health of an organ from the standpoint of your psycho-emotional realm, then it's incumbent upon you to feel in your uterus and your ovaries all the way from there up your spine into your brain the net result of any of those exercises you claim, from prayer in church on Sunday to being with your husband to stretching in a yoga class. You have to feel the effect in your tissues. Then it's functional. Otherwise, your alternative healthcare rant, your faith in it, will crumble. It will turn to dust just when you needed it, because you'll find that the model you've created, in other words, the way you understand, yes, I'm into holistic health. I would never do chemotherapy. I would never believe those medical doctors. I would never do a surgery. It all falls apart if your understanding of holistic medicine is not functional. It has to work in your physiology each day as you use it. So blood stasis, combating it from the herbs, garlic, turmeric, any green drink, anything. And how would you know? Well, that's what I said. As you cleanse, you should be feeling a greater connectivity to those areas, uterus, ovary, cervix. Now, I realize that a lot of you, most of you, don't know what I'm talking about right now. And that's okay. It's okay not to know what I'm talking about. That's the joy of the show, isn't it? That you can... and get yourself educated. Do it today. Stop putting it off. Ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Once you have an aggressive tumor, once you're down the road with these things, you have to work harder. It costs you a lot more. Ladies who are menstruating, if that menstruation is not 3 days, 3 days, I didn't say 10 days, 3 days, if there are any clots, any PMS, fix it. It's incumbent upon you, if you want your health, to make sure that those menstruations are simply 3 days, no pain, no PMS. If you're clotting, if you're in pain, if you can't get pregnant, these are warnings. These warnings become cystic ovaries, endometriosis, fibroids. Now, in the melee of what we call estrogen dominance, hormonal imbalance, growing tumors, we do have a solution. God put many countermeasures in there. I've mentioned a few. But one of them is that the liver will work to take out all the garbage. The liver will pull out the xenoestrogens. The liver will pull out the hormonal imbalances. The liver will pull out of the ambient circulation that which will destroy your female organ systems. The liver will pull those chemicals out as a safeguard. Even if you live in Long Beach, the liver will. But let's take a look at the liver and qualify that statement. Picture number 16. Go to picture number 16. There's the liver. There are the bile veins extending through that massive organ. Forget the skin. The liver is the largest organ in the body. You pull that out, that is a moose of an organ. And its bile veins are extended front to back, up to down, left to right, inside out. And those bile veins are supposed to pull out, like a vacuum cleaner, all the garbage I'm talking about from the blood, dump it down the common bile duct, dump it into the intestines, and dump it out of the body, with a small part of it being recirculated back into your blood. And if that doesn't occur, why wouldn't it occur? A bunch of reasons. Ladies, I'm talking to you specifically today, but men also. If you worry, if you live in anger, if you live in resentment, if you live in frustration, those bile veins constrict. You don't get bile flow then. If those bile veins are clogged, clogged with sand, clogged with gallstones, clogged with anything, mucus, parasites, if they're not open, you will not get bile flow. Ladies with your PMS systems, number one reason you can't get the hormones to balance is you can't get the bile to flow. Old story, talk about it all the time. I hope, I really hope, I even pray that you are attaching more deeply to the things I'm saying. More deeply, meaning you've asked yourself, does my bile flow? Because if it does, you've got one more tool that God gave you to make sure that you don't go estrogen dominant. Estrogen dominant is why the breasts turn to cysts. It's why the breast becomes cancerous almost all the time. You would concede, even your medical doctors would concede that we do need oxygen to live. I think we could all nod our head complacently. I think we're all one on the notion that we need oxygen to live. Consider this. You need the bile to flow. And just as whether you live in the oxygen of the Himalayas or the oxygen of Long Beach, there's a big difference between those oxygen contents. Wouldn't we all agree? Well, there's a big difference in the variability of bile flow. There it is. There's a big difference in the variability of blood viscosity. There's a big difference in the variability of what you feel in your feminine organs each and every day. Those variabilities set you up for a terrain that will render you sick with disease. So all these diseases are one to me. It's just a matter of how stagnant are we. Now, if we're going to marginalize what I'm talking about to a discussion about you've got uterine cancer and ovarian cancer because of your genes, well, then I think the devil is in active practice today. That is a demonic statement in its implications. Yes. Based on testing, you can expect to have ovarian cancer at a much higher statistical frequency than the public. But we'll forget about all these things Medici just mentioned on radio. That's the devil. And I'm not saying the people that purport or support these idiocies are devils. I'm saying that as you work your way up, I guarantee you there's a guy up there with a pitchfork, and he's laughing. He's having a good laugh because he's living off your pain. I like the way I said that. But it's all true. Question being, does your bile flow? Does your bile flow? Picture number 19. Take a look at picture number 19. There's the psoas muscle. Not again. Can you do a 3D on that? That psoas muscle owns your ovaries. It owns your cervix. It owns your uterus. For that matter, men, in case you've dozed off, hopefully not, it owns your prostate. It owns your erections. Now I know you guys are awake. It owns how long you go. That psoas muscle owns you. It owns you as a man. It owns you as a woman. Rolf, who had a doctorate in chemistry, who pioneered chemotherapy at the Rockefeller Institute. I love those holistic practitioners that have credentials that are impeccable, don't you? Rolf had a doctorate in biochemistry. Rolf walked around for 30 years in a suitcase. In a suitcase, she was independently wealthy, or at least well-to-do, so she could afford to walk around in a suitcase for 30 years, trying to explain to people what I'm saying to you today, compliments of Ida Rolf. But picture number 20, that person on the left, compared to that person on the right, this is picture 20. Hope you're looking at these pictures, I really do. Person on the right has a competent psoas. On the left, their psoas is short and spastic. If your psoas is short and spastic, which 90% of the time it is, you're going to crush your lower organs. The organs in the abdominal cavity get squashed. If they get squashed, then you can do whatever you want. You can take whatever herb you want for cancer. You can take whatever herb you want for your health. You can do anything you want. But if you have a physical compression, which implies gross stasis, meaning nothing moves because things are compressed, because your psoas is incompetent, good luck. Thus, Rolf and 30 years in a suitcase. She wouldn't get off it. Faith in action? Faith in action is sacrificing money after a doctorate in chemistry. Faith in action is sacrificing money after a doctorate in chemistry and a career at Rockefeller Institute. Brain trust of the world, especially in the 20s. Pioneering chemotherapy, no less. Faith in action is forfeiting all that for massage therapy. That's guts. That's guts. Picture number 21. Take a look at it. Normal spine, hyperlordotic spine. Ladies, the butt sticks out, strong C curve, and the groin is tucked in. Right? We walk around kind of like dinosaurs. Those pictures of the dinosaurs where the upper part of their body, they got these little dumpy legs, right? Tyrannosaurus, this huge upper body, 6-inch teeth. They're tipping forward except for their tail. But the compressive force up in their groin on a Tyrannosaurus rex, forget it. Forget it. That's the way we run around, about to tip. I don't care if you're straight-backed. I'm not going to get into explaining it. It's the same thing functionally. It means that you've collapsed the space in the lower abdominal cavity, the beating that your ovaries and uterus are going to take. Cysts in the ovary. Look at picture number 25. The ovaries can get a cyst. That cyst has a shell on it. A fibroid has a shell on it. A tumor has a shell on it. That shell has fibrin. Fibrin. Fibrin is laid down. I've showed you many times pictures of fibrin. Nattokinase, right, comes to mind. Any anti-inflammatory herb, but nattokinase especially, eats fibrin. Pig enzymes. That's right, enzymes. Protease enzymes. John Beard, turn of the century, proved it. This is indisputable. Nick Gonzalez, Donald Kelly. Everybody knows. There it is. Pancreas enzymes. Pork enzymes. Protease breaks up fibrin. Nattokinase, Japanese food, breaks up fibrin. You want to reduce the fibrin in your body, the fibrin that will lead to a stroke someday, that will lead to cancer. There's another concept. High fibrin, fibrinogen in the blood. Every cancer patient has high fibrin, high fibrinogen in the blood. That fibrin's in response to what? The tumor? Well, not only the tumor, to a body that's producing via inflammatory issue a ton of fibrin as a response of the immune system to the irritations along the free radical gamut. So high fibrin. So what is a tumor? A tumor's got 27 to 30 layers of fibrin. And it's got a lousy blood supply. That's right, a lousy blood supply. It's got its own blood supply, but its blood supply is poor. It can afford to be poor. Now think of the genius of this. I want you to catch this. And if you never hear from me again, or you never listen to the show again, just get this. Get this one thing I say to you today. The genius of cancer. The genius. The cell has not decided to go apoptotic. It has not decided to go senescent. It has decided to go anaplastic in the name of rebirthing itself, producing the very same hormones that the fetus does. And to protect itself, it spins a special type, angiogenesis, a special type of circulation, but that circulation does not bring the kind of perfusion that normal blood vessels do. It can't bring enough oxygen in. It just brings enough to allow it to live anaerobically. If those blood vessels were as big as our blood vessels, as efficient as our blood vessels, then that cancer cell would die because you could get the drugs to it. You could get the chemo to it. You could get the herbs to it. You could get anything that would stop it to it. But you see, the genius of a cancer cell as it bursts anaplastically is to go into a protective layer on the inside, which means it embargoes itself, taking in only what it needs to grow and preventing what could kill it. That is genius. It's genius beyond genius when you realize that the cell is doing that as an attempt, a last-ditch effort to survive. Because you've injured yourself so severely. That is genius. And so John Beard, turn of the century, Donald Kelly in the 50s and 60s, Nick Gonzalez today, so on and so forth, say, get it from the outside if you could. But you can't because your immune system can't eat through 27 fibroblasts. So John Beard discovered at the turn of the last century that pancreatic enzymes would eat through the fibroblasts. It would be a big step. Today, the Germans inject into these tumors. Today, Nick Gonzalez argues, a man that's been studied. Today, Donald Kelly still reigns as one of the supreme approaches to eating through the fibrin layers to break down that high fibrinogen level. I've left three great articles. I don't know if we're going to have time to get it. But click to view the full article, Enzymes for Cancer. Low enzymes are always found in cancer. What it's going to tell you is fibrin, scar tissue, layers of thick goo, always encase tumors. But they always encase everything. They encase everything. The body just doesn't use fibrin for tumors. Fibrin, as you must know, and if you don't, get on straighttalk.cc, listen to the shows. Turn these 192 shows into your own educational forum. That fibrin functions as a web systemically in response to your inflammatory titer. All you have to do is wall off one organ, more so than the others, to create such a mess in that localized place. This is why so many of you say, I can't be sick, I feel so good. You're only sick in that part of you. Your body's still sufficiently compensating. And you've got to respect that because it's incredulous. You meet diagnoses with shock and incredulousness. Look at picture number 29. Picture number 29, this is endometriosis. What is it? Uterine tissue growing outside the uterus. Now look at that dark black blood. What is that? It's blood stasis. Polycystic ovaries. If you cut open a polycystic ovary, it's the same thing. It's dark, clotty blood. If you're having terrible menstruations every month, it's dark, clotty blood. If during your period you have pain, if during menopause you have pain, if you have pain in your arms and your legs, if you have pain in your breasts, it's dark, clotty blood. I've explained this before. Cleanse the blood. Use the herbs as solvents. Stretch the tendons and put qi in them. Have your tissues cross-fibered. face your emotional self and get on the other side of the deepest part of you that has pain. If you are in a disease state, if you are in any of these aberrations of normal health, at the bottom of it, you're dealing with something. Oh no, not me. This came out of nowhere. Couldn't possibly have anything to do with me. Those people scare me. Because what are you going to say to that? I want you to say, I don't want to deal with it because I can't, but it's there. I've been stuffing it for years. I'm too afraid to take a look at it. I want you to say that. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. Come in and say that. Make an appointment and say that. Start there. If you've got the female gynecological stuff, your body knows how to heal it. Still not against the law for you to deal with yourself. Of course, you're being challenged. It's called misdirection. None of this data gets to you. Thank Cavewright. Not everyone would let me broadcast. There's still something about being a good Christian that relates to telling the truth. Celebrate that. Celebrate the American Constitution. Because there's still something in that that brings everybody from everywhere here. Celebrate that. Because that's straight talk. That's where your straight talk is protected. Rather than misdirected. Misdirected into all sorts of topical, non-functional, only palliative. You understand? Medicine has reduced itself to palliative care. You are not made for palliative care. Deep down inside at 4 a.m., you want your dreams to come true. That has nothing to do with palliative care. That's all I have to say to you today. Listen to this show many, many times. If you're still confused and still sincere, you've got the number, 714-850-1007. We'll see you next week. 2 weeks from today, I'm bringing Dr. Aguilar on. We're going to have a dental powwow. See you next week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.